This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, welcome to the Mean Gene Show. We are back in the studio after a long hiatus, and I am so glad to be back with my producer, John B. John, what's up, man?
What's going on, Gene?
John, you know I was not out just lollygagging, right? I can explain my absence from the studio for the last couple of weeks, right?
I heard that you were lollygagging, so.
I was not lollygagging, John. As a matter of fact, man, I am so glad to be back. Nothing like Houston traffic on the 45, you know, coming down here to the 610. I didn't miss any of that, but so glad to be back, John, from the Final Four in San Antonio. And, you know, John, before we even get going here, man, I want to give a big shout out to all of the folks in San Antonio. Despite what Charles Barkley say about the women in San Antonio, they are not fat and disgusting, okay? That is a running joke from Charles Barkley from TNT, who I ran into probably several times. Never once did I bring that up, okay? But no, we're going to start with the stadium workers. I mean, you know, this was they do a great job. I think San Antonio, the Alamo Dome, has hosted probably maybe four or five Final Fours. They do a remarkable job there. The law enforcement people, I mean, they were just some of the coolest, calmest folks. Professionals. They just did a great job. So, big shout out to all of those folks there in San Antonio for just making things so great. And John, you know the food is always good in San Antonio. Just great, authentic stuff there.
I think any city in Texas you go to, you're going to get great, authentic food. I haven't been to San Antonio in quite a bit, so I can't speak to their food. But I did hear that same sentiment from a lot of people that were out there.
Yeah, I mean, just great. And also to the NC2A for always putting on a consistent event. You know, they keep it simple. They made things very accessible for the media, and just great job there. So want to make sure everyone knows that. So now, John, man, it was a great Final Four. Auburn, Florida, University of Houston, Duke University. You know, I don't even know. I want to first of all just start out by talking about the University of Houston and what the Cougars were able to do. Yeah, they came up short and not winning the national championship. But I tell you what, for what the University of Houston did was remarkable. And I think everyone in this city, John, you know what? And I know had they won the national championship, you know, we would have had a nice parade. As a matter of fact, the champion in San Antonio, they always put them on a boat and they take them through the Riverwalk. You know, that's a tradition when they win that. But I know the city of Houston would have done something incredible. But I still think they should do something incredible for those kids. What Kevin Sampson did with these kids was remarkable. And I know, John, there was nothing like Saturday night, sitting there courtside watching that team just basically, it just didn't look like they were going to beat Duke at all Saturday night. It just looked like one of those games that Duke was just going to destroy them now. But we know from watching this team all year long that they thrive when they are down. And they had some remarkable, crazy stat. John, like when that team is down by 10 points, they were like 3-0 when they were down by 10 points and would come back and win the game. And that was a remarkable game Saturday night. And it ended up being the highlight moment for the University of Houston because we'll get into what happened on Monday night. But we're going to just really thrive on what happened that Saturday night. John, I sit there and I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on here? And I was talking with some guys, some other media from I can't remember where they were, but I did say this. I said, you know what? They keep stopping this clock. If Duke keep letting the University of Houston stop this clock, they got a chance. Because normally when you up with a minute or something left to go in the game, man, you're like, okay, let's not stop this clock. Let's keep this thing running here. And I was just really shocked that a team, you know, with the status of Duke. And John, just to take it back a couple of days, I attended all four teams' practices. And, you know, I watched Florida come out, you know, I saw Auburn come out and they do their thing. The University of Houston came out and did their thing. But when Duke came out, I said, oh, Lord, oh, man, we are in trouble. These guys were humongous.
Duke, yeah, that's a big team.
Duke looked like a damn NBA team. And I said, okay, man, we're in trouble. And that carried over to that Saturday night. We were in trouble. And you saw we were in trouble for pretty much the whole game. But that last minute, I'm like, oh, my God, what the hell just happened here? I'm sitting there. You know, John, you could be that close. You can be right there, and you still don't know what the hell is going on. It's like, I mean, were you watching, John?
Oh, of course I was watching. Oh, yeah.
I mean, because that was one of those games where you couldn't go get, you know, a beer out the refrigerator. You couldn't go.
Well, when it
you
was
had to watch it.
When it was a 14-point game with, what, like 8 minutes to go or something like that, you could go get a beer then, you know?
Well, yeah, because it just looked like it was – I mean, come on. Everyone had Duke favorite to win that tournament. And it just looked like – and I just said, you know, not so fast. I mean, you have to respect – and that's what the thing with – the look, I did three brackets, by the way. And I want to talk about my brackets, okay, because I did three brackets – and I had Duke winning one, I had University of Houston winning one, and I had Florida. So unfortunately, I did win one of my brackets, okay? And I, you know, I tell you what, man. So look, I had a chance, you know, to witness something that Saturday night that I would never forget for as long as I live. How that team came back, they rallied, they won, and that arena, there were not a lot of Houstonians there Saturday night. And that, you know, I was a little bit upset by that. You know, there were a ton of Duke fans there. They traveled really, really, really well. But there were enough people there, including the student body. You know, they sat right in front of us. There's nothing like partying with a bunch of U of H students, right? These kids, I don't know how much beer and pizza they brought in there, but it was a lot, okay? And those students consumed a lot of it, all right? But to see what happened at the end of that game, you know, to see Juwan Roberts hit those two free throws, and by the way, everyone knows he is not a great free throw shooter. Those were clutch free throws that he knocked down there. And then to see Cooper Flagg go down there and just great defense. Everyone talks about how, you know, he missed that shot. How did he miss that shot? Well, hell, he had a great defender on him.
He did, but that's also the shot that Cooper Flagg can and will hit a lot of times. So, yes, it was great defense, but it just didn't fall their way in that moment, and U of H got to celebrate.
They got to celebrate. And John, let me tell you, man, I think, you know, and you know, when you're in the media, man, you there's no cheerleading in the press box. You know, that's the first thing they always tell us, okay? You sit there. You don't cheer, you don't, unlike my German friends, these guys got press passes all the way from Germany, okay, and they sat right to my right, and not only were they cheering, they were drinking Heinekens, okay, I'm like, are you kidding me, guys, that's allowed over in Europe.
You weren't drinking a couple Heinekens?
No, I don't think so, I don't think that's allowed, but unreal, they didn't care, they had their Heinekens. It was funny because they were. You could clearly tell they were pulling for the University of Houston. So, and they asked me, "Well, who are you going for?" I said, "Well, you know, I'm from Houston. Okay, so that's the team that I'm actually covering. Okay, and but John, if you watch my feet, you know it gives it away because I'm sitting there stumping. It's just you just can't sit there and watch that team play and do things and not show some sort of emotion. But anyway, John, when they won that damn game, I think I beat them to the locker room. you know, there's like a, you know, the coach gets to, you know, there's interviews on the floor, obviously, with the CBS media. And then the coach gets to go back there. There's this 15-minute cooling off period where they talk to the players and everything. And then they allow the media to go in there and have their conversation. But, John, it was to be in the locker room with those kids to talk about that big Saturday night game win over Duke. And look, we're talking about, you know, what happened on Monday night. But, man, that was incredible. You just knocked off Duke University, a team that everyone thought was going to win it all. And I got to tell you what Dustin Pfeiffer did. You know our friend Dustin, right? You know he's a Dukie, right?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, Dustin is a Dukie.
Oh.
And we'll talk about that because I could not reach Dustin for about 3 days.
I should have texted him. I didn't
know.
Yeah,
Dustin, our Sports Kings guy. But anyway, stick around, folks. We're going to talk about a little bit more about the my experience at the Final Four and talk about the Monday night game, the championship game against the University of Florida, okay? So you're listening to The Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I told our guys after the game to be disappointed you lost, but do not be disappointed in your effort. Defending Florida is difficult. They got a really, really good team. Coach Golden runs great schemes over there. You know, we guarded them.
You're listening to The Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, Coach Kevin Sampson sharing with the media what he told his guys after that, you know, just painful loss to the University of Florida in the national championship game Monday night. And look, you know, for 35 minutes, the University of Houston, you know, led that game, pretty much proved to the entire country that they could beat Florida. They really did. It was one of those games where you have to really credit the University of Florida. Almost, you know, John, I kind of felt like the same thing that kind of happened to Duke kind of happened to the University of Houston. You know,
it was similar.
It looked like that same game where we, like, Duke manhandled the U of H. Well, we manhandled Florida. I mean, it was just a crazy game there. And it just got down to the last 5 minutes of that game, which was just unbelievable. You know, there were some turnovers. There was this, that, and the other. And let me tell you, those guys, I mean, and look, I want to, you know, give a great shout-out to the fans. Unlike the Saturday Final Four game, there was a nice crowd there. But nothing like the Monday night crowd. And then we had found out that it was a sold out, you know, game for the championship game. Oh, there was a sea of red come Monday night. I mean, the Florida Gators, you could not hear them at all screaming. I mean, they were there. They made some noise, but, oh, there was a sea of red come Monday night. So, and the U of H fans were ready to celebrate in, you know, big fashion had the, you know, Houston won that game. But the last 5 minutes of that game, you know, there might have been some things I wish we had done differently. When things were starting to fall apart there within the last few minutes, I wish maybe there was a timeout that was called to sort of get those guys back together. Just to because I just think, man, you know, because it was one turnover, then there was another turnover. But I would never, you know, I would never, John, and this is where I'm going to get into, like, but some of the fans, you know, what happened at the end of that game with Emmanuel Sharpe, it was just unfortunate, you know. And to find out that this poor kid, after, you know, having to lose, and how about what Walter Clayton Jr. did, you know, after he realized that he jumped up in the air and he came down, he couldn't touch the ball again, and there were no other players around that could get to the ball, you know. I think Jafar Francis tried. He was the closest one to get to the ball. And then time expired, and that was it. And you saw Emmanuel Sharpe, his emotion. He knew what had happened, a missed opportunity, and seconds just run off the clock. But Walter Clayton, you know, in the midst of, hey, celebrating, wow, we just won a national championship, came over there and consoled him, you know, for a few seconds. That was just a very class act there. But I want to get into, and this is probably one reason why betting should never be allowed in college sports, you know, and I can say that, and I have myself bet on games, did I bet on these games? No. But I guess some a-hole is what we should call them, had the nerve to send hate messages to Emmanuel Sharpe's Instagram, calling him out for the missed shot or the turnover at the end of that game. And that's – so you call yourself a fan? No, you're not. You're an a-hole because you probably lost a ton of money that you shouldn't have bet. If you're a fan, you're a fan. You know, you should have been there Monday night cheering those guys on like the other thousands of Houstonian fans that were there, the Cougar fans. And it was unfortunate, John, that this kid had to – I mean, he's already feeling the pain, okay? And for him to – he had to terminate his Instagram account and because there was so much hate. And that's just unfortunate. These guys, yeah, I know NIL exists and these guys might get compensated, but they are still kids, okay? These guys – I mean, they suffer and go through painful emotion just like any of us do. And so I'm glad, and I know having a coach like Kelvin Sampson, having fans like the University of Houston and the people here at Houston and his teammates and Juwan Roberts and those guys, I think they did a good job of consoling him. And John, and me and you were talking about this after off the air. I had a chance to go into the locker room Saturday night, you know, after they had beat Duke, man, and just the excitement there, you know. And I talked with Javar Francis and I talked with Mercy Miller. He didn't have a whole lot to do with that particular game, but the excitement. There's nothing like being in a lit locker room after a big win like that. You know, I didn't know that you know, Mercy Miller, the son of Master P.
Oh, yeah. No, so, yeah, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I talked with him, and it's just everyone was just, it was just a fun place to be.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I could have went in that Duke locker room, you know, but, yeah, I mean, I didn't want to, you know, go in there. I wanted to go into
a celebrating locker room.
You're doggone right. But there was also a reason I did not go into the Cougars locker room Monday night. And one reason why I chose not to go into their locker room is because I knew that those kids were feeling it. I did not want to see them. After seeing them 48 hours earlier, you know, feeling, you know.
On the top of the world.
On top of the world. I did not want to go in there and see those kids crying. And I am not the one to stick a microphone or a tape recorder or whatever in their face trying to get a story. That's not me. Probably why I'm not making $1 million as a reporter, because, and I don't give a damn, okay? That's just not me. I'm not trying to be the story. And I had all of the respect for those kids. But I definitely wanted to be on that floor with them with that confetti falling. And unfortunately, I did it with Florida. I mean, I was on the floor. That's what we have to do, John. You know, I was out there with Florida, and I went to the Florida locker room when they beat Auburn.
I seen you on the TV. You stood up and took your U of H shirt off and had a Florida shirt underneath it.
Did a Superman thing. No. Look, you know, anybody except Duke, man, I'm okay, right? I did not want to be – had Duke made that championship game Monday night, it would have been tough.
And you know what? Props to Florida, too. You know, coming back against Auburn – To win that tough game and then climbing back against U of H to win that.
Well,
they earned it.
I thought Auburn was going to beat Florida. I really did. Because they had already, you know, Florida had beat Auburn earlier. So, I mean, that kid, that Walter Clayton kid is no joke. And he didn't really have a big game in the championship game. But he showed up in other ways. But no, I had no problem. As a matter of fact, John, something happened to me Monday night on the celebration floor that has never, ever happened. As long as I have, you know, been interviewing players, whether it's the Super Bowl, whether it's the Final Four, whether it's the World Series, never, ever happened. So Saturday night after Florida beat Auburn, I spoke with Denzel Aberdeen. He's the backup point guard, number 11. So I'm in the locker room, and he's, you know, hey, man, you know, we beat Auburn, so we just got to get ready for, you know, Monday night. I'm like, cool. So come Monday night, you know, they beat the U of H. And it was crazy because being out on the floor, you know, they're cutting down. They had just got the they set up the risers. And they got the championship trophy. And then they came down and they cut the nets. So I'm down there at the three-point line where they're cutting the nets. So he comes out and he talks to me. And I said, man, look, 48 hours ago, you beat Auburn. And now look at you. You're a national champion. He said, I know, man. And just gave me a hug.
Right there, like, he was feeling it.
Yeah. And I'm what the hell? What do I do now, right?
You hug him back.
Yeah,
that's what
I did.
Do.
I did. So I got questions for you, kid. Okay, get back. Get off of me, man. I can't let the Houston Cougars and the fans here see you hugging me. What the hell?
I knew you were a Florida guy.
No, man. But it was just funny, though. And he was just, it was just great. You know, these are kids, right? Like I said, the emotion of that game. But anyway, so the Gators win. And, you know, congratulations to the Florida Gators. But, hey, I think the Cougars are going to be back, John. I think they're going to be back. I hope Coach Sampson comes back because that is a well-oiled machine. And hopefully there were some kids out there watching. Hey, if you want to get in that transfer portal and come to H-Town, come on.
Sounds like they've already got it going. I don't know the details of it, but I hear that the recruiting class that U of H is bringing in this next year is amazing. To the point to where Arsenal already jumped into the transfer portal to leave, they think, because he's not going to have playing time on this team. So they are poised, from what I hear, to be right back there again next year.
And they should, man, because, you know, and then, you know, I felt kind of bad because, I mean, the U of H, that they have been to the big dance, to the big game. And I remember all of those years of Georgetown and NC State and you know, and Olajuwon was there. Didn't get a chance to talk to him, but, man, you know, he was there front and center. And it's just, you know, you want that championship. And I just think it was so damn close. It was so damn close. And we just knew that the Bayou City was going to be hosting. I saw it all, man. I saw the parade. I just saw it all. I just saw the red and white confetti coming down. I mean, it was just there, John. That's why I couldn't go to that locker room. There was no way. I had no questions, nothing to say. Hell, I was feeling the same that those kids were. You know, at some point, you're not a reporter. You know what these kids are feeling. You know, I had to drive the almost 200 miles down Interstate 10, you know, just like everybody else did, or, you know, and it was just unfortunate. But, hey, they get to live to see another day, another season. I think Juwan Roberts is going to have a successful NBA career. I think he's going to be, and what he said, man, you could just see that emotion with all of those guys. But they're going to come back. And they should start. And I think what I'm hearing and seeing and reading is that they might be the preseason. I don't know if you want to be the preseason number one ranked, because Kansas was the preseason number one ranked. And we saw what happened to Kansas, right? I mean, they made the tournament, but they got knocked out. But anyway, all right, we're going to talk about the big boys here. The Houston Rockets, okay, locked down the number two seed in the NBA Western Conference. Who do we want them to play in the NBA playoffs? We're going to be talking about that next. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 Houston.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, we are moving right along here, bottom of the hour. This is a quick moving show. We're only on for an hour. You know, football season, that's when we go long and strong here. But, John, before we get into the NBA here, and this is a good segue here because one of the other events that take place, if you were watching the Final Four last weekend, and the halftime of the first national semifinals game, they actually introduced the class of 2025 Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. And this was quite interesting. The media, we get a chance to have a press conference with these guys. So they had a list of people here, and some of them we will talk about. They inducted the 2008 USA Basketball Men's Olympic team. That was called the Redeem Team. And remember, they had that name because after the Dream Team had went and won, well, we had a couple of teams that didn't bring home the gold. There was one team we brought home the bronze or the silver. So they had to put together the Redeem Team, which consisted of Carmelo and the late Kobe Bryant and Dwayne Wade. So that team, that entire team, Carlos Boozer.
Is that where that famous video comes from? I think it was 2008 where there's a video of somebody walking into a gas station and LeBron and Kobe and some of the other players from that team are sitting there like eating chips and snacks in the gas station on the way to traveling to the – is that where that –
That's where it came from. That is the Redeem Team. So they actually went back and recaptured the gold. So that entire team got put into the Hall of Fame. And individually, Carmelo Anthony was inducted into the Naismith Hall of Fame, as well as former NBA referee Danny Crawford was inducted into the Hall of Fame. Billy Donovan, boy, did he have a great week. Okay, Billy Donovan was the former coach of University of Florida, and he won national championships back-to-back with the Gators. So, you know, he was feeling it this last weekend with the Gators winning the national championship. He is now the head coach of the Chicago Bulls. He's in the Hall of Fame. Former Laker and former Orlando Magic, Dwight Howard, is in the Hall of Fame. And then Sue Bird, Sylvia Fowles from the WNBA, they were selected to the Hall of Fame. Now, they were not in San Antonio because, as you know, the women's Final Four was taking place in Tampa, Florida. So, anyway... John, so I had a chance, like I said, it was a press conference, and I had a chance to talk with Danny Crawford. And it's not often that we get a chance to talk to referees. Referees are always, they have a spokesperson that the media is allowed to talk to after games. Referees are always, you know, the first ones out of there. But Danny Crawford had a long NBA career. And he officiated a lot of games, but and he deserved to be into the Naismith Hall of Fame. So here's the question that I had for Danny Crawford.
Gene Thompson, ESPN 97.5. This question is for Danny Crawford. Danny, I know you officiated a lot of games, especially ones with Carmelo and Dwight. Could you tell us all which one of these guys really gave you the business?
Both. Both. You know, the relationships referees have with players, for the most part, it's a working relationship. They're going to do their job, and I'm going to do my job. And at the end of the night, we'll figure out, you know, who did their job best. So we always have a working relationship. Carmelo's going to go at it hard. Dwight's going to go at it hard, and I'm going to go at it hard in a different way. Mine's more mental. Theirs is more physical. And we're going to have a working relationship on the court. I'm going to stay out of their way. As long as they're doing their job, then I stay out of the way because I have no job. So that's pretty much how a referee and a player and referees and teams, that's pretty much how we – manage, you know, to stay in existence.
To survive.
Look, when I asked that question, Dwight Howard, I wish you could see his face. Dwight Howard immediately started laughing.
Because he probably knew some of the things he said to that guy.
Well, because he knew he was the one. Yeah. And I liked how Danny Crawford answered. And Carmelo gave me the side eye, too, when I asked that question. But everyone knew that Dwight Howard was the one that gave him the business. He gave everybody the business in the game. But Danny Crawford, he deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. He's a sharp guy. And I don't – it's the first time I've seen a referee inducted into to the Hall of Fame. But
yeah, I was curious about that too. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, I mean, an NBA ref, and you know, we all have questions. And he went on to answer some more questions from the media, but I just had to have fun with that. There was no way I was going to let this guy get out of there without yeah, and taking advantage of those two guys up there. So I thought that was fun. So, all right, we are at a critical point here in the NBA season. The season is practically over. There's only maybe one or two games left. And, John, I tell you what, the Houston Rockets are in a good spot, man. They're in a really, really good spot. They are the number two seed in the playoffs. Now, what I don't like here about the two seed, I mean, I like that the Rockets are the two seed, but they don't know who they're going to play. And I'm going to tell you who I think they're going to play, or John, or you can tell me who you want them to play. Right now, if everything stays where it is with the NBA standings, the Thunder are the number one seed, the Rockets are the two seed, the Lakers are the three seed. They sealed that up last night. The Denver Nuggets are the four seed, and boy, what a week for the Denver Nuggets, huh? How the hell do you fire Mike Malone?
Craziness.
This is like this is unreal.
Where's your patience? Where's your, you know?
In the NBA, a team that won the NBA championship in 2023, coach of the year, fired here in 2025.
Crazy.
And they're in with a record of 49-32. I know they lost like four games in a row, but who the hell fires their coach in right before the playoffs? Okay, that's we'll talk about that. We have enough time to talk about it today. Okay, the Clippers are the five seed. The sixth seed is, how about the Golden State Warriors? Boy, like 40 games into the season, the Golden State Warriors, before they got Jimmy Butler, were in the 10th spot, 11th spot. Now they are the sixth seed. Why is that important? Well, because the 1 through 6 spots are guaranteed, okay? Now, the seventh seed, if it stays the way it is, the Houston Rockets would play the Minnesota Timberwolves, if it stays the way it is. The eighth seed right now is the Memphis Grizzlies, who, by the way, also fired their coach a couple of weeks ago. All right? Taylor Jenkins, the only coach that has really taken them to deep in the playoffs, okay? They have a 47-34 record. They fired their coach. Reason why? Well, they're implementing a new offense, and they didn't think that he was really taking the team in the right direction. This is Memphis, okay? Memphis. Okay, just craziness. Okay, we'll talk about that too, right? Two coaches that have playoff eligible teams fire their coach right before the damn playoffs. Go figure. Okay, your job is never safe in the NBA. Okay, that just, okay, goes to show you. Okay, 7, 8, 9, and 10 seeds, okay? And I mentioned the 9 seed because that's important because the play-in, all right? Right now, the 9 seed in the West belongs to the Sacramento Kings. The 10 seed belongs to the Dallas Mavericks, all right? And that's important because Anthony Davis is now pretty much playing pretty good basketball, okay? Even though it didn't show the other day when the Lakers and Luka Doncic went and beat the brakes off of him, right? Don't worry about the 9 and 10 seed. So I'm going to tell you how this works here, all right? The play-in tournament starts, I think that's going to start here sometime next week, okay? So what's going to happen? The reason why the Rockets don't know who they're going to play yet, because they could either play Memphis, they could either play Minnesota, they could either play the Kings or the Mavericks. Chances are they're not going to play the Kings or the Mavericks. They don't even have a winning record, and that would just be a sweep if they did, okay? I think they're going to play the Timberwolves. John, who do you want the Rockets to play? I think a lot of people would want them to play the Kings or the Mavericks. The Mavericks is not going to be an easy out.
Yeah, the Mavericks aren't, no, for sure. Kyrie is still out, right?
Yeah, Kyrie is still out, but they've got some other guys that have stepped it up. you know, despite all of those injuries, and now with AD back,
yes,
kind of makes them a different team.
It does. I mean, I guess Minnesota is probably the answer. And nobody's afraid of Gobert. Like, I think, honestly, the Rockets beat all four of these teams, any one of them that you put in front of them. I don't think it really matters. I think once you get to the next round here, if I'm not going to sit here and say the Rockets are going to for sure win, but I don't think any of these teams beat them. I think the next round is where you're looking at maybe a Rockets Lakers matchup type of thing. Like that'd be a lot of fun.
In the second
it's very
round.
Interesting. But in this first round, it's just not as I don't think it's as compelling. I think Minnesota's probably going to end up playing.
I think so, because here's the deal: if Minnesota right now is going to play Memphis in the play-in. So the winner of 7-8 locks down number 7, okay? And the 8 seed waits for the winner of the 9 and 10. So Minnesota beats Memphis, they lock down number 7. While Memphis waits for the winner of 9 and 10, which is Kings and Mavericks. So if Mavericks beats the Kings, then Memphis will play the Mavericks. So the winner of that game becomes number 8. So now that would be interesting, because I tell you what, there would be nothing like a number 1 Thunder going up against a 8 Memphis. And we'll talk about that here in the final segment here, because the NBA playoffs are going to be interesting. And I also talk about the East before we wrap up the show, folks. All right, one last segment here on the Mean Gene Show. Right here on ESPN 97.5.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. Whatever this is on, let me drop some shit like this here. At night I can't sleep.
Now back to Mean Gene, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, we're about to wrap it up here, folks. It's the Mean Gene Show. We will be back in studio next Saturday, and I keep saying we, and I'm always talking about my producer, John B, but Jacob Meadows, okay, Jacob is still part of this Mean Gene Show. Now, Jacob is going to be back during the football season. He's got some obligations that just really keeps him away on the Saturday afternoon time slot that we have, but Jacob is ready. You know, he did pick Florida in his NC2A bracket. That's one reason why his ass is not here. Because he should have stuck with the U of H.
He picked Florida.
Yeah, he did. Okay. He picked Florida. And he only had one bracket.
Oh,
now, I had three brackets. At least I had U of H in one of those brackets. Okay, so that he just went all in on Florida, right? I'm like, there's no way I'm going to let you come in here and do a show with me, man. Come on now. He just jinxed the whole damn team, right? So. All right, the NBA playoffs, okay, folks, they are getting ready to approach here. The SoFi NBA play-in tournament will take place Tuesday, April 15th through Friday, April 18th. Now, I would be one to admit I was not crazy about this play-in tournament. Remember, the NBA used to be where if whoever finished 1 through 8, those were the teams that made it. So if you were the 8 best teams in your conference, you made the play-in. I mean, you made the playoffs. So I have, you know, became a little bit more liking to this now. So that means if you're 7, 8, 9, and 10, you still have a chance. Now, you look at some of these records in the East, you're like, well, how the hell do some of these teams even have a chance? Like, even in the West, if you look at the Mavericks right now, they have a 39-42 record. There's no way. You have lost more games than you have won. You should not be in. As a matter of fact, the only teams that should be in the playoffs are teams with a winning record. But you can get hot, okay, just like the NC2A tournament. Not every team in the NC2A tournament has a winning record, but they all have a chance to be crowned the champion. But as we see in the NC2A tournament, teams with losing records usually get their ass whipped. The same thing is going to happen in the NBA playoffs. That's why I say that the 9 and 10 seed teams, even though they have a chance to get the 8 seed or the 7 seed, they're going to get destroyed by the 2 seed or the 1 seed. I mean, that's just the way it is. We do not want the Houston Rockets to get beat by the Kings with a 39-42 record. Now, it could happen. You can fall asleep on these teams, which I don't think that's going to happen. But how about the Houston Rockets, man? Coach Ime Udoka, I said through his press conferences, this guy is just as cool. What you see on the court, on TV, that cool calmness is what you, that's him. This guy's really cool. He has everywhere, you know, he a disciple of Greg Popovich. This guy has put this young team together. This Rockets team, John, I really hope they go far. Now, you know, I'm also a Lakers fan too, right? I know you people say you can't be a fan of two different teams. Well, I lived in LA for many years. I am, and I've always been a Rockets fan, and I've always been a Lakers fan. And yeah, there's a chance that they might meet up in the playoffs, but we'll just address that when we get there, okay? Last night, yeah, the Rockets did the Lakers a big favor, okay? And I was not impressed by that big win over the Lakers. And the Lakers almost struggled with the bench players that the Rockets had on
the at the very beginning of the game, yes. Yeah. The Rockets, Ken Whitmore.
Because those guys ain't played. Yeah. They wanted to show something.
Yeah, they did. But at some point, it naturally evened out, and it's Luka and LeBron.
But it's good to let those players play because you're going to need them. And I don't know how deep, you know, in the playoffs, you know, sometimes the rotation is shorter, whereas Coach Udoka has gone deep with his rotation. He has gone eight players in sometimes. And, you know, it depends on who this first-round opponent is going to be. The Timberwolves is a tough team, you know. I mean, they made it to the Western Conference Finals last year. So I don't know. I kind of want to go to Minnesota. I've never been there. I've never been to Minneapolis before. I'm not really looking forward to going to Memphis. Okay, I don't really want Memphis to be the Rockets, you know. That's just for personal reasons. I don't want to go to Memphis, okay? And that would be a tough out, too, because, you know, John Morant is playing good. Jaren Jackson is playing great basketball. And, you know, they picked up the kid out of Purdue, the rookie Edie. So they now Jaren Jackson is able to play a true power forward, Edie. You remember the conversation we used to have about Edie and Wimbyama back in the Sports King show?
Yes.
So now Edie is in the NBA now. And so it's kind of interesting. But I didn't talk a lot about the East. So we're looking at the East right now. Everything is sealed with the East. So the East is locked in. Everything has been decided. Unlike the West, there's still a game or two that might change the some of the seedings. I think especially 7 and 8, so it might, some things might change. The Cavaliers, how about the Cleveland Cavaliers, man? Wow, 64 wins this year, and that's incredible. And the Boston Celtics, 60 wins. So you got two 60-win teams. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 67 wins. Incredible. The only thing, John, about the Oklahoma City Thunder, they can be beat. I know they've had a great year, but that's still a young team. And when you go up against, like, the Golden State Warriors, the Lakers, even the Rockets team, because they're well coached, they could be a number one seed that could lose. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
Because they don't have playoff experience.
Exactly. It's been a long time coming with building that Thunder team up to this point. If I'm not mistaken, this is the first year that they're getting a chance to go into this here as the number one seed, yeah, as the top dog here. And you wonder if that pressure is going to get to you.
It could, because that's why I said if they end up playing the Memphis Grizzlies with a John Morant and a 7'4" Zach Edey, and a Jaren Jackson and a Bane, Desmond Bane, and that Memphis team is playoff experience. They, I know they just fired their coach, so I don't know what the hell they're going to do. But I guess that doesn't matter. That team, you could put them on autopilot, and they still can win games. So it just depends on the matchup. So I think it's going to be pretty interesting there. How about the New York Knicks, though? They are the 3 seed, and they are going to play the Pistons. You know, a couple of years ago, the Pistons lost 65 games. I think it was 65, 63 games. And now the Detroit Pistons are in the playoffs as the sixth seed. They're not even a play-in team. Okay? So, look, you got to feel bad if you're the Magic, the Hawks, the Bulls, and the Heat, that you let the Detroit Pistons outdo you. They are locked in. Motown has got to be really, you know, having a ball up there. The Detroit Lions made the playoffs in the NFL, even though they didn't, you know, they got beaten the first round of the playoffs. But Motown is really kicking it these days up there now.
I think the Tigers are pretty good, too.
Beat the Tigers.
Astros last year in the postseason.
How about that? That town is Motown now. So the Pistons really like to see how things are going to pan out there. The Knicks are an exciting team. Believe it or not, I do like the Knicks. I just think they are a fascinating team to watch. And look, if you've never seen a Knicks game in Madison Square Garden, you have to do that. Put that on your bucket list. It's fun there. It's really exciting to watch a New York Knicks game. So I don't know. That's going to be a good first-round matchup. That right there is locked in. The Pacers and the Bucks. Had a chance to interview Doc Rivers a while back when they took on the Rockets here. That team is quite interesting, and they're going to take on that Pacers team, Rick Carlisle's team. That is an interesting team. Carlisle has won an NBA championship. Doc Rivers has won an NBA championship. So anytime you got two good quality coaches like that, they know what these playoffs are going to mean, and that's going to be interesting. How about the Boston Celtics, okay? Well, you know, if you're a Rockets fan and a Lakers fan, you hate the Celtics because the Celtics have beat the Rockets and they have beat the Lakers for championships, okay? I do not like the Celtics. I don't like anything green. Well, except money, of course. I like cash green. But, you know, the Celtics, a two seed, not a number one seed. But I kind of think that the Cleveland Cavaliers and the Celtics on the collision course to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't think the Bucks and the Knicks and any other teams that I just mentioned in the East are going to matter. I think when it's all said and done, unless they somehow have to meet in the Eastern Conference Finals, they're going to meet each other at some point. They are going to meet, whether it's in the conference finals or the semis. They're going to meet. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, man, what an incredible year. The Miami Heat, look, you got a record of 37-44. You shouldn't be anywhere near these playoffs. But I think they are going to get in. I think they're going to beat the Bulls and get into the play-in as the eighth seed. I really do.
You can't count Miami out. If they have a shot here, you have to give them a chance.
I mean, they got rid of Jimmy Butler. Pat Riley's thorn in the side, you know. And it's going to be interesting because, I mean, Tyler Hero, what a name, like Hero, man, you know. So he's getting it done. He's having a great time there. I mean, the playoffs are going to be coming up, folks. This is an exciting time of the year. John, can I expect to see you down at the Toyota Center?
I wish. No, I probably won't get a chance to make it out there, but I'll definitely be watching on the TV.
Yes, it's just going to be great stuff here. So I cannot wait for the start of the NBA playoffs. And look, next week I'll be talking more about the NBA playoffs because they will start. We will know who's going to be the 7 and 8 seed. The play-in tournament would have been over with and done. And we're going to have more and more NBA playoffs to talk about. I want to thank my producer, John B., for bringing it down and putting it down. And we'll see you back here next week on the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.